Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Polls in South Carolina close in an hour in the Democratic presidential primary. It's a choice between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Kimberly Hicks voted for Clinton at Martin Luther King Jr. Park's polling place.
Well, she's strong. She's very strong. And then her husband, Clinton, he was good. He was for the people. And she's like she's falling right in his step as her husband.
And NPR's Tamara Keith spoke to Sanders supporters at the same polling place.
The voters I talked to who support Bernie Sanders say that they are excited about his plan for free public college, and they also feel like he's really speaking to their concerns about the economy and about income inequality.
NPR's Tamara Keith reporting there. Both candidates campaigned in other states today, Clinton in Alabama, telling people presidents have to speak carefully because she says when you're president, the entire world listens to you. And Sanders campaigned in Minnesota and Texas, where he told around 10,000 people at a Formula One racetrack near Austin that he can defeat Trump soundly if he and Trump are the presidential candidates in the fall. In Iran, preliminary results from Tehran show moderate and pro-reform candidates winning 29 of 30 parliamentary seats in Friday's elections. And NPR's Peter Kenyon reports the conservatives are faring better outside the capital.
If the results hold, they'll mark a very strong showing for reform and moderate candidates inside Tehran, despite the disqualification of many reform candidates before the campaign began. These results cover just a fraction of the 290-seat parliament, though, which is still likely to include many conservative MPs. Results from other parts of the country are not yet announced. In Iran's other election for the Assembly of Experts, President Hassan Rouhani and former President Ali Akbar Hashemi Rafsanjani, both of whom have been embraced by reformists, are the leading vote-getters. The panel is charged with choosing the next supreme leader. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Tehran.
The world's top financial leaders say if Britain leaves the European Union, it will shock the global economy. From Shanghai, NPR's Frank Langfitt reports G20 finance ministers issued the warning today in a communique at the close of their two-day summit.
Mentioning the economic risks of the so-called Brexit, shorthand for Britain leaving the EU, was a boost to British Prime Minister David Cameron. Cameron is pressing the UK to vote to stay in the EU in a referendum scheduled for late June. The finance ministers also said governments need to go beyond printing money and low interest rates and focus on structural reform to spark economic activity. In addition, the countries pledged not to engage in competitive devaluations of their currencies to try to jolt exports. They also said that the recent market volatility was overblown, didn't reflect the fundamental strengths of the global economy. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Shanghai.
Five people are dead, including the gunman in a shooting in rural Washington State. Police say the man called to say he had shot his family. This is NPR News. The financial data of some 80,000 students, alumni, and employees at the University of California, Berkeley may have been hacked. University officials say there's no evidence any information was stolen, but it has notified victims of the breach. The school was in the midst of patching a security flaw last December when the intrusion happened. Thousands of people marched through the streets of Moscow today in memory of a key opposition leader who was murdered a year ago. NPR's Corey Flintoff reports a lot of police were on hand.
Marchers filled one of Moscow's boulevards carrying Russian flags and signs honoring slain opposition leader Boris Nemtsov. Nemtsov was shot in the back last year by a gunman on a bridge near the Kremlin. At one point, police tried to block hundreds of would-be marchers by closing off the parade route. This is Anastasia Didok.
We cannot come to this meeting because police closed this way.
Protesters chanted, "Let us march," and pushed at the barricade until police let them through. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Moscow.
In Florida, wildlife officials captured 106 Burmese pythons, that on a state-sanctioned hunt for the invasive snakes. More than 1,000 people from 29 states registered to help remove the pythons from South Florida's wetlands. Now, the longest python was measured at 15 feet, and officials are analyzing the animal's stomach contents. So far, they've found a fawn, a woodstock, a stork rather, and other large wading birds. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.
From the latest newscast to the newest podcast, NPR One handpicks local, national, and international stories based on what you like. Download the NPR One app, a new way to experience public radio.